I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well done, Louis Coco, producing the show back in the studio. A little Simple Minds. One-hit wonder here, right? I mean, I don't think Simple Minds had anything else, did they, John? Like, this is the only time I've ever heard
had...
of Simple Minds. Did they have another song?
Yes.
I think they might have.
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, look at, was that Lewis jumping in? Look at Lewis with the Simple Minds knowledge. Wow, okay. So not a one-hit wonder.
What was it, Lewis? Because I'm
alive and kicking.
Look at Mr. 80s back there.
Yo, Lewis went for it, too. Yo.
They might have had more than that, even. Wow. They weren't... They were pretty big.
Okay, good to know. All right, we are broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales, Service Parts, and Accessories. It's the morning show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer, and Jody Camarilla Hughes, Louis Coco back in the studio. That is a great answer from Rhea Hughes on the bender fist in
that.
The air as a freeze frame. The movie literally ends with the freeze frame of him with the fist in the air.
Yeah.
You can't do much better than that. It's a great, great answer.
It does feel pretty indelible way it just sort of... And it has, does it have a drum? And it feels like there's like a drum beat that thumps as it ends on that picture.
Yeah.
It's so indelible, but maybe it doesn't have that.
John Hughes, man, you know, I don't think we talk enough about the mark that John Hughes made in that time period.
Teenage years.
Home Alone, 16 Candles, Weird Science, Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club. I mean, you could just like Ferris Bueller's Day. Like it's one after the other of like all the most iconic 80s movies, really, or at least of that type of movie. All right, 215-592-9494. Give us the best freeze frame iconic image from a movie. If you're watching a movie and you hit pause at any certain point, that image, best answer is going to win. Plus, coming up this segment, a really interesting answer from Jalen Hurts yesterday when asked what the Super Bowl victory has done for him. That's something we've talked about, you know, the loss and how it weighed on him. What's this going to do? A fascinating answer from Jalen. That's coming up in a couple minutes. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to our pal Patrick in Tabernacle. What up, Pat?
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing great, Pat.
Very excited. Hey, John Ritchie. When are we going to get a dose of you on the acoustic guitar? Covering some Hendrix.
You know what? That's a great point. It's been a little while. Got anything you've been noodling around with or anything like that?
I have, yeah.
Maybe next week we do.
Playing some stuff. I actually, maybe I'll play a gorgeous song. I was playing a song the other day that almost made me break down.
Get out of here, really?
Man, maybe I shouldn't play that.
No, please don't. Please don't. Upbeat. It's the morning show.
John,
we'll figure something out.
No, we will. Maybe next week or something. It's a good call, Patrick. It's been way too long.
Dolly Dagger would be my request for you, buddy. I think you can cover it.
Dolly Dagger?
Yeah,
I never tried to play it.
No, listen,
I'd have
you
to
can do it.
Change a lot.
You got your new Dolly Dagger in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so electric. It's so electrified.
It's a great song.
That would sound really cool acoustic. I could really alter things. Maybe I'll try that
Look
out.
Look at this, Patrick. Well done, buddy.
So listen, John, listening to you talk about preseason football is like, it's like, you're waking up for Christmas morning and you're a little kid, like just running downstairs. You're so freaking excited.
Patrick, I feel the same way, man.
I know.
He gets this like childlike joy in his voice. It's so fun. That's what I was joking before. Like, this guy played in the league and he still has that joy. It's so cool.
But
I don't have to be out there making myself shorter. I used to be out there pounding myself shorter.
You're like, this is much nicer.
And now I get to just watch these guys, and it really is. It's a magnificent sport to watch in every capacity. I mean, it's the perfect sport to digest. They run a play, and then you get to be like, sit there and say, holy cow, that was cool the way he did this. And then I saw that and that and that. And then rest,
another play.
Rinse, repeat. Yeah, another play. And when you're out here at practice, like yesterday, I was lucky enough to, you know, Big Dom took me. I'm standing in a spot where I'm standing next to Mike Quick, and a play is run, and a ball is thrown. And who else to say, hey, how well did that receiver break on that pass? That who else to, who
yeah,
better to
Mike
ask
Quick.
Than Mike Quick?
That's a great point.
Like, Mike, it, just such a joy to be out there immersed in this level of expertise.
It's like you're
of,
getting the live color analysis right here, like listening to the broadcast. As Mike, like, let me tell you what he did there.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So cool. That's awesome.
Amazing.
Patrick, I think I would sound childlike after that,
the
too.
The joy in his voice is unlike anything you ever hear.
I love it, man. Amazing. John Ritchie loves football, and that's so cool.
Well, that's the – and everyone does to some degree.
Of
it feels like.
That's why we talk about it.
My
mom
raised me this way. My mom and dad raised me this way. But it's, you know, loving football is what we're all – about, like, to varying degrees. I don't understand why my son loves football so much less than I do.
Yeah.
But it's a thing that we pass on automatically, and why we're all here.
Well, it's part of the fabric of the city. You know, it really is, in a way that it's not a lot of places where, to your point, John, like, you just grew up with it. You don't choose to be an Eagles fan. You are an Eagles fan, you know?
Sure.
It is a differentiation, you know?
That's true.
It is.
Yeah.
Patrick, what you got on the Phils?
The Phils, I'm trying not to overreact to that, but Castellanos, you know, you're talking about him before you mentioned him, like, you know, 1 for 25 and all this stuff. And, you know, like, you know, just defensively, you know, last night it was obviously, you know, awful.
Last night, but, there was a we haven't gotten to that, but a fiasco. The Mark Tate play. I mean, literally scores on two errors on the play. They're throwing the ball over the field. Yeah, it was
just so sloppy. Almost like they know that the Mets are shambles.
John, that game last night, the Mets. I was telling James before the show. I said I popped on something. I said, "Oh, let me just check the Mets score because I'm standing."
Sure, we all are. Yeah, yeah.
And I see. Worst loss of the season. I'm like, they just blew a 5-run lead 2 days ago. They had a 6-run lead, John. 11 unanswered runs the Braves
scored. And at least the last one was against the Brewers team. Yes. This is a Braves team that's cooked, you know. You got to love it.
That's hard to do.
It is hard to do, yeah. you don't get 11 unanswered that often in a baseball game. No. Yeah, all right, Patrick, you got an answer for us for an iconic image?
Yeah, I don't know where to go. I'm going to stay away from my favorite movie, but I'm going to go with King Kong on top of the Empire State Building there.
Yeah. Oh, big.
Excellent.
Big, great start to the show from an answer perspective. That is a great one. All right, back to the phones in a few minutes. 215-592-9494. I want to play this Jalen Hurts audio because I thought this was a really good question, and he was asked about what does winning the Super Bowl do for you from a confidence perspective? From a, you know, how does it change you type of, like, we know how much the loss affected him. We saw it in all the behind-the-scenes stuff at the Super Bowl. And it
on his iPad.
Hurt my soul and all that stuff. Here was Jalen yesterday, and you could tell, like, he even says it towards the end where he's like, you know, this is a good question. You got me talking. It's pretty good. Here's Jalen on what the Super Bowl meant.
So winning the Super Bowl make you more confident?
Yeah, you mean, yeah. Yeah. When you get a promotion, do you think you're more confident? When you get a promotion? Have you ever been promoted? Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, you chase a dream and, you know, you, everybody's dream is to do that. And so once you know that you can, you know, it brings a sense of assurance that you can, you know. And I've said before, it's not a, you know, it's a great question. You got me talking.
It's so funny to hear him even just
I
be
love
like
that.
Me too. I love
I
that part.
I love
at the
that.
End. Me too, John.
He forgot that he was guarded.
Yeah,
he
did,
forgot
right?
He was supposed to do the coach speak mode that he's been taught to do his whole life, even by his dad going all the way back probably to when he was a little kid. He was
and
probably
Nick
imitating
Saban.
His dad at press conferences saying nothing. He got out of that mode temporarily. And then he realized
it you know what he
after
said
like 30
fun.
Seconds.
He's like, you got me.
Yeah.
That's cool, right?
Who, did yeah. he, who was the reporter?
I couldn't tell because the question was so low.
Because I you ever been promoted?
Yeah, it was very funny. And
I love
it's a great response because it is true. When you when you get a job, when you like move up in the ranks, you're like, I can do this.
Totally.
You
yeah, know, it instills confidence.
It's 100%.
Success breeds confidence.
Confirmation that you belong.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you win the Super Bowl and you're the Super Bowl MVP. Of course that's going to give you confidence. Of course that's going to take you to another level. So I thought that was just so fascinating. The answer itself, but also just hearing him open up because we know how rare that is. And he even admitted how rare it is. I thought that was really neat. 215-592-9494 to get in on the Eagles and the Phillies. We're going to continue to get John's thoughts from being out at the joint practice yesterday. Some really interesting stuff from John in terms of the defensive side, where Cooper DeJean's been lining up, more on that, and obviously the offense and why things weren't so great from an offensive perspective yesterday. Elliot Shore Parks at 820. He was obviously out there for the practice yesterday. He will give us his thoughts on what he saw. And again, your calls, 215-592-9494. We're broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. It's Richie, it's Seltzer, it's Rhea Hughes. It's the morning show. Don't go anywhere. Good morning. It is the WIP Morning Show. John Richie, James Seltzer, and for Joe DeCamera, Rhea Hughes. A little sledgehammer from Louis Coco back in the studio. We're broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. Twitter poll question of the day today, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Question today: who do you think is most likely to bat cleanup behind Bryce Harper in the playoffs? Three options for you: Alec Boehm, JT Romito, and to make a point, Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos better not be the answer to that one. He's an absolute disaster. The question more should be: should Nick Castellanos be playing in the playoffs? That's the line, the what road we're heading down at this moment.
But seriously, Alec Boehm. When last I saw what he was doing in the minors, it wasn't
not setting the world on fire.
Anything to write home about, you know. So
he's going to take some time to get back in the swing. Literally.
We know JT.
No pun intended. Sorry.
Yeah. Very nice. We know JT with the leg kick. It's like he can be as off as anyone. If that foot's not getting down, he can be off for 2 weeks and look
and if
like
it's the
Nick
wrong
Castellanos.
2 weeks. Yeah, well, remember last playoffs, JT, zero hits. Zero for the playoffs last year, remember? So,
is he the only one?
I don't know. I know that he was like 0 for 10 or something.
It felt like a lot of them.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Feels like Bryson Stott was right there.
Yeah, right? So we'll see. But Nick definitely needs to turn around quickly to deserve, honestly, some playoff time. 215-592-9494. Obviously talking Eagles as well. Joint practice yesterday. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll get some more thoughts from John about what he saw yesterday. We've talked about Cooper DeJean, Johnny Wilson. We'll see what else John saw with his eyes yesterday at joint practice. Also, coming up later this segment, Philly royalty, like a Philadelphia thing that is forever, is all time, is one of the great things of our lifetime. We didn't know something about it. There's some new information about it. I'm gonna say it's probably not gonna stick. What's that? That's coming up a little bit later this hour as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to our buddy Gary in Whitehall. Gare!
Oh, what an honor to talk to James, who's running the hell home of the morning show. What's going on, brother?
Gary, the honor's all mine, pal. How you doing?
I got Phillies and Eagles playing. Phillies first. You know, with this lackluster of a bat recently, making things more difficult for these, especially the starting pitching, to be more precise, and that's totally unfair. I mean, these bats got to start producing. It's getting out of hand, especially at the bottom of the order.
Well,
the bottom of the order won the series in Texas.
We came in on Monday saying shout out to the bottom of the order. You can't expect the bottom of the order to carry you every
game. They can't.
Game.
The other players have to.
And we talked about this at the trade deadline, and this is why we wanted another bat, and I like Bader.
Yeah.
But it really does put a lot of pressure on those top three guys in the lineup.
They got to deliver.
Yeah, Turner, Schwarber, and Harper have to carry this team. It is what it is. It's the way the lineup is built right now, Gary.
And look,
to John's point, he hasn't been crushing the minors, but I do think Bohm will help this team. And I don't know that, you know, I trust Bohm to keep it together and keep it tight, as it were, you know, in the playoffs and all that. But I do think he is a better option as a bat than, you know, look, like, I love Otto Kemp. He's a player. He's been really struggling.
He has been.
I mean, his OBP is down around 300 as well. Like, they need another bat in there in a big way.
Yeah. As far as the Eagles go, everybody's like, oh, they're running the ball. Well, what do you want them to do? Look what they have back there. Look what's in front of them. Why wouldn't you want them to run the ball? I mean, I can't wait.
I agree.
John Ritchie was just nodding with you, Gary. He's like, you're damn
you're
right.
You're preaching
there.
To the choir.
I do think that a lot of these plays are – I was always told way back when – and I'm hearkening back to the 90s – when we were watching what Peyton Manning was doing, and he was my draft class, when we were watching what he was doing in Indianapolis, I was told everything came in run, run, pass, or pass, pass, run. And it looks like a lot of times the defense that the Browns were running turned on our run choice. Or, you know, and that's just the way it was, and it worked. It worked great. It was chunk yardage in the run game, and for whatever reason, well, for an obvious reason, Myles Garrett, when we tried to throw the ball, he made things. He shortened the period of time that we had available to find receivers downfield and made it really tough for our quarterback to throw in an accurate fashion yesterday. But it was very clear, obvious. It was clear that was a major issue.
I do think this brings up, and Gary, we'll get to your answer in a sec. I do think, though, John, this is something you bring up a lot, and I think it's so true that Jalen doesn't get enough credit for all the decisions he has to make and also the choices to go to the running game. Like, no quarterback wants to hand the ball off. Like, you don't go into a game being like, can't wait to hand it off to win today. I hope I don't have to throw much. Like,
well, that's the
right
thing.
Like,
but Jalen's,
that's my point,
the first I've ever seen to be like equally, he's thrilled that the play is the right
it's
play
successful.
And that everything is, yeah.
You mean he'll do whatever it takes to win?
Yeah, like, what a crazy thought. Yeah, and I do think he doesn't get enough credit for that specific thing. Gary, you got an answer for us for an iconic image from a movie?
Yeah, the facial expression that you got from Hans Gruber falling from the Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, that's a great one with the arms.
Love that. That's
a great answer right there, Gary. Yeah,
but it's also kind of hokey the way
it totally
it's
is.
So
yeah.
CGI in
what's 1988
or back
whatever.
In the day.
Yeah. No, yeah, but
I mean the Jaws effects are not. Yeah, that. You look at them now.
But yeah, no, it works. It works. And, you know, when he's falling, you feel it. You know, it's a really good answer. Let's keep it rolling. Let's talk to our buddy Corey in Pottstown. What up, Core?
What's going on, Jimmy?
What a pleasure, pal. How you doing?
Hey, real quick, since you just said it, I saw a documentary about Die Hard. You know that that actor did not know he was going to fall at that point.
I do know this. This is a great Corey. This is a great Die Hard factoid. Yep, and that's why he looks so shocked. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
They was supposed to do it on the count of three, and they did it on two.
They dropped him before he knew it because they wanted him to look actually frightened.
How far did he fall? Like
not that far. It was like 10 feet, whatever it is. But like, isn't that cool?
Fantastic.
Yeah, really neat.
I didn't know they had a documentary on it. I love that. I will go find that.
Best action movie of all time, in my opinion. Or my favorite, at least.
Yep. It's on Netflix, Rhea.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Good looking out, Cor. Good looking out. What you got in the fills, my friend?
So what I love about baseball is that something can change and something's different every day. What I hate about baseball is something can change and something is different every day.
Yeah, you're not wrong, buddy.
You know, 48 hours ago, we win that game with that comeback, and we're six games up. We're praising the Phillies. They're looking good. 48 hours later, we're like, what's wrong with the Phillies?
Now they can't hit.
You know?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Corey, we do this for 6 months, yes. You know?
It's what I love about baseball and what I hate about baseball.
They're there every day.
Yep.
It's a roller coaster.
And it's one of those things. It's so funny, Corey. I feel like every year, I do it, but I'll be like, it's a long season. And yet by like May 1st, I'm freaking out. I'm getting annoyed. Because you know it's a long season, but it's hard not to just roll with the roller coaster. It's hard not to get caught up in the ups and downs.
It's part of the fun of it. I mean, I don't like when people always say, when I'll rip them and go, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm like, oh, shut up. I mean, I'm watching the game. I have opinions.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Shut up.
And it's so funny. It's so funny. It's 48 hours later, and we're still 18 games over 500. Yeah. So, I mean,
5 games up on the Mets. You know, they're so with like 41 to play. Like, they are statistically in a fantastic spot.
The Mets
to win
allowed
the
11 unanswered runs last night. So, whenever you get too ticked off about the Phillies getting shut out, at least they didn't allow 11 unearned
runs.
That's
true.
Exactly.
Yep. Only a few unearned runs.
I mean, sorry. Unanswered. I meant unanswered. Yes.
No, the Phillies allowed 8 unanswered last night, so less than 11.
That's true. Kind of... Your math is correct.
Yes,
that's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I got a spill for a movie.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's one of my favorite sci-fi horror movies of all time. It's Ellen Ripley holding Newt, standing in front of the mother alien on
with
the
face
ship
right
in Alien 2.
Love it.
That's a great answer. Yep, we know. There are two big answers from that one, and that's one of the two.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That is a great answer. And I this might be a controversial opinion. I might like Aliens more than Alien.
I do.
You do too, right?
Yeah.
The camera one.
I feel like Alien had too little...
action
to
almost,
really
yeah.
bring me, yeah, to keep me engaged.
It's suspenseful, it's
I guess
well made,
it's very
great.
Artistic.
Yes, exactly,
but it's so sparse.
And Aliens is like a
blast. Intentionally sparse. Yes. The first that it, I lose interest to some degree.
No, I'm with
the
you. Aliens
is better. It
Bill Paxton.
The second, you know what? The second they probably intentionally made it a worse movie, and it's got more written in, and all the action, the extra blockbuster 80s style.
It's James
action.
Cameron, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like
do
it
too.
Better.
I think Bill Paxton is so great in Aliens. He is so funny in that movie.
He's all amazing. Right,
I know. R.I.P. What a great actor Bill Paxton was. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a second. John, we've already heard you talk about Cooper DeJean at safety, Johnny Wilson going up and getting the ball, and a little bit about the Browns' pass rush. What was something else that you noticed at practice yesterday that piqued your interest?
Well, Jahan Dotson is also excellent. I just don't think that he has as much versatility within the offense as our gigantic Johnny Wilson. I think Jahan Dotson is going to get beaten out as our third wide receiver because Johnny Wilson is so versatile, so physically dominant, and now he understands how, like, as a receiver, how physically dominant he can be going up there and catching 50-50 balls all the time. This can be a thing. This could be anywhere on the field, the back shoulder it to Johnny Wilson thing. And I know this can be a thing anywhere on the field for any good receiver, but it feels a little bit like cheat mode when you're applying it to this
guy. Big, yeah.
He,
well, it's almost, it is to your
you
point,
see him
it,
here,
it
it's
is
even,
unstoppable in a way. Like if it's a certain height difference and the guy can't jump certain height, like in a way it is, if he's going to catch it, it's unstoppable in a certain way.
Yes, it feels like if the quarterback...
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Can throw it to the right spot consistently, and it's a huge spot. And you got a lot of room for error as you throw to that spot. But as long as you keep that spot up and away from that defender, Johnny Wilson's going to come down with the football. And I think we saw that during practice yesterday. It's not just against second teamers. It's not just with McKee at quarterback. Now you got Jalen Hurts throwing the ball, and he's going up and getting it. He's with the ones, and he's not just blocking in the run game in a 9-on-7 drill. He's out there with the starters. Now, A.J. Brown was hurt yesterday, so we don't know how much of this is real and how much of this is just the situation, the circumstance in terms of injury, but I'm really encouraged. Now, the defensive side of things, the cornerback situation.
Yeah, Ja'Quarian Bennett, did you see anything from him? We haven't seen – he hasn't been here much, obviously.
Number.
Which didn't look good. The 49 is tough.
Is horrendous.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That needs to get changed in a hurry. I'm sure he hates that.
I'm sure as cuts happen, there's probably a chance that he can maybe improve that number, I would think, as the roster gets pared down or whatever, you know?
Well, yesterday there was a – I think it's very clear that Ja'Quarian Bennett is going to be fighting with Adoree Jackson for that starting
spot. So you think it's Keeley as lost ground?
Keeley's played his way out of that starting competition.
Not tackling in that preseason game.
Yeah, that was tough.
Really did not sit well with Vic. His cause. Yeah.
And look, it's a shame because you see these guys, John, where there's a real opportunity in front of them and you want to see them go grab it, you know?
Well, his is sort of dissipating and you can see it in the way that they're rotating him through in practice. You know, that it's Adoree Jackson and Ja'Quarian Bennett, as far as I could see, that were rolling with the first group. Now, I didn't see all the reps because, again, they were concurrently some of this. All these things, the offense, the defense were on separate fields. But, the defense, in my eyes, what I took from yesterday, Jihad Campbell was a real problem for the Browns to where they were holding him a lot. And the refs weren't calling it tight, so they were getting away with it. And I could see that he was getting frustrated. Cooper DeJean looked extremely comfortable in our base as a safety. And we should, I believe, expect to see him as the guy who's back deep next to Reed Blankenship when we're in base. You know, when it's first down and it's the first play from scrimmage on September 4th, I think chances are good that with Vic Fangio trying to defend against the deep ball, if you've got two deep safeties standing there, it's going to be Reed Blankenship on one side and Cooper DeJean on the other. That's if we're in our base 3-4. Now, if whoever we're playing comes out with three wide receivers in their zebra package, then we will match that with our nickel package, meaning we'll take one of our linebackers off the field. We'll move Cooper DeJean up there to replace a linebacker, and he becomes the nickel. That's what I saw them do in practice yesterday, and it seems like it makes sense that that's going to be reflected in the way we look on September 4th.
No, we've been kind of theorizing that and all that. 215-592-9494. If you have any questions for John on what he saw or any certain players, if he got a chance to see them yesterday, of course, we'll take those questions. And what's top of mind with you for the Eagles right now as we are today's Thursday. We're exactly 3 weeks from today. How about that? 3 weeks from today, the Eagles and Cowboys will
square. You mean 3 weeks
up
from John's birthday?
That's John's birthday is 3 weeks from today, too. How about that? What a fun thing, by the way. Like, what a cool birthday to start. They're raising a banner on your birthday, man. Like, that's a pretty neat thing.
It was usually like the start of school.
Yeah.
It was usually the first game-ish.
Especially when you were playing, because it's gotten back. Like, this is early for now, but when you were playing, they used to play around now a lot more, you know, around September 4th.
Yeah. Labor Day. I think my mom went into labor on Labor Day back in the day.
Wow.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. So 215-592-9494, 3 weeks till the opener. What's top of mind with the Eagles? For the Eagles, coming up in a few minutes, I mentioned it before, but Philly royalty, something that will forever be, top of the heap for us when it comes to sports. There's something we didn't know. New information. I wonder if it'll stick. We'll find that out next. Let's talk to JP in Plymouth Meeting. Hey, JP.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
John, I got to ask you a question of what you saw, because I was listening to John Johnson in the morning, and he's panicking. He's saying, he's never seen the Eagles practice like this, and I want to know what your take
was
is.
Was he here?
Like,
was
John
Johnson watching the practice? I didn't realize he was there.
He was saying that they're running too much.
And I want to know.
Good at it.
I love that we're running the ball a lot. Yesterday was essentially live periods where we were seeing guys almost tackle to the ground. They were hitting each other. They were blocking each other hard. And it was a chance for the coaches to design the plays. Like, they communicated what they wanted the defense to show in some cases, from what I understand. So, if the defense was blitzing yesterday, if the Browns were blitzing us, I think in a lot of cases it was because the Eagles offensive coaches said, hey, we'd like to see how we pick up this blitz. And so, if you understand
they're
what
scripted,
I'm saying, like,
right?
they were working together. Yeah. So it's scripted. They're working together to get the most out of these practices. That's why they love this format so much. I would not worry about the fact that we're running the football a lot, because this is a complex running attack where it's like I've said, there's an if then part of this offense. If you see this look, then you go to this play. So each play is going to be called in with multiple choices, and they have to sift through that. It's part of what they're processing. It's part of what Jalen's processing up at the line of scrimmage. And yesterday, he got it looked like our coaches were designing it so that we were getting into run plays, and our offensive line did an incredible job of walling things off and covering guys up, making the blocks, and our backs were running scot-free to the end zone, and it was not supposed to look that easy. It should not look that easy.
So why would
our
you,
running
no,
game
you shouldn't
is
complain
incredible.
About
yeah.
Don't worry. I'm not
we're
worried
gonna
at all.
We're going to make our moron of the week John Johnson, all right?
There you
the
go.
Amount of times he's made Joe the moron of the week.
There was no A.J. Brown either, so.
Yeah.
I'm not
John
worried. I don't know what John said.
Out of egg and not panic
That's about. Right. That's right. Tell John Johnson.
I don't know what John said.
The morning show said, relax, John. Okay.
He was just saying they were running the ball too much, and you're not going to repeat if you're
well,
like, they're running it 70-30. It was ridiculous.
Good.
I'm like,
so what?
If they run it 70-30, I'll be thrilled. If they run it 70-30, I'll be thrilled, and we'll probably have a great chance
yeah,
to win
if they're,
that game.
Exactly. Yes, teams that run that much usually win a lot of football
Correct.
Games. That's the way it plays out. And, look, and at the end of the day, JP, like, all that matters is successful plays. I don't care if it's a pass. I don't care if it's a run. Like, as
That's
long as they're
saying.
Matriculating the ball down the field, who cares, right? And it's part of what made the defense better last year. Long drives. They sit on the sideline. They can,
I guarantee every offensive lineman on this team wants to run the ball every play.
Yeah.
So
I haven't met an offensive lineman who doesn't want to run the ball.
Right. JP, you got a answer for us for an iconic image?
I do. You didn't see it basically through the whole movie, but, hey, why don't you come shove some of this crap and Jaws, you see the shark for the first time, full body come out of the water, and Brody says, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's it's a good answer the first time you see the shark in Jaws. Coming up in a minute, some Philly royalty that has an addendum to it. First, let's talk to Mike in New York. What up, Michael?
Good morning, gang. How is everybody?
Great. Super.
Excellent. John, so one thing that I also am kind of very concerned about is, look, we lost Milton. How is Jordan Davis looking? If he was even out there, and if he wasn't, how are the other components that are going to be next to Jalen Carter? How are they looking? Because that is a little bit of a concern.
Sure. Well, Mauro Ojomo is going to be awesome. I'm very when you get guys like Landon Dickerson, and this was last week, he was talking about Mauro Ojomo. Landon Dickerson, who is, I mean, block out the sun size wise and strong. Lane Johnson told us he's the strongest man on the team. Lane Johnson is just like a superhero himself, saying that. Mauro Ojomo is impossible for Landon Dickerson to block, and he told us that.
Did you see what Lane Johnson said yesterday?
Lane Johnson also said,
take it from me, he's the real deal, quote-unquote, about Ojomo, too.
Yeah, yep. So that's amazing to think about. What Landon was saying was that he is so his center of gravity is so low, his arms are so long, which was a big problem for me when a defender had the long arms. I have pretty long arms, but if they have long arms and they can keep me out of their body, that just, there's nothing I can do. It drives me nuts. And he's got that advantage, as well as incredible explosiveness. Jordan Davis, he has looked better. He has looked like he can penetrate.
It's huge.
He's in great shape. In great shape. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to translate to games. You know, last season, no matter what, he would always end up with 20 some snaps, you know, and even when it felt like he was getting into better shape, then he would take a step back at times. I'm not sure why that happened. I guess he talked a little bit about losing some focus toward the end of the season in terms of his, keeping track of the strict diet and that sort of thing. It's clear that he has been very strict with the approach to getting ready for this season.
It seems like he's made a life change, like an actual fundamental change to the way he takes care of his body.
I agree with that, Jimmy. It feels that way, and I think that we'll be able to see that on the field. I haven't been able to pick up on it at practice yet. You know, a lot of times I am watching, you know, Jalen Hurts when he's out there on the field. Yesterday, that meant that it was, you know, when I'm looking over at the defensive side, it's like I'm turning my head. It was too much for me to try to catch all of it at once, unfortunately. So I didn't see the defense as much as I would like to. But Jordan Davis is going to be expected to play more than 20 snaps this year. I'm certain of that. And I think he should be capable of doing it. The problem with him, from my perspective, as soon as he starts standing up, as soon as he starts looking 6'7" or however tall he is, we got to get him out of there. We got to spell him because he is too easy to move around. It's like taking candy from a giant baby, pushing him around when he's too vertical. He's so big, it's really easy to get underneath him. And that's when he gets tired. That's what we saw last year. We need to see a low Jordan Davis before I'm ready to sign off and say I believe he's taken that next step. So a low Jordan Davis in the second half.
It's more technique for him.
Well, is that and
his technique breaks down
as
when
he gets tired.
Tired.
Okay, got it.